Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 8th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning,
there
Brian.
We go. All right. You're starting to thaw out.
Yeah.
Listen to us. Huh? We're concerned that it's in the 40s and it's too cold.
That's right. That's
Boy, would we have trouble in other places.
That's why I live here.
Uh-huh. Our quote this morning actually is the last words of O. Henry. Pull up the shades. I don't want to go home in the dark. I suppose that's, a good metaphor for people who have whatever the surroundings that they're in, and they feel comfortable where they are, and to push out and to make change is something, well, by definition, change is uncomfortable.
Some change is good. Yeah,
it could be positive.
It could be
but
positive.
But still uncomfortable.
Sometimes. Sometimes I really think it's, what you've worked for, where you're going, and so it is comfortable once you snap over to the new thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking weight loss here.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Establishing new patterns and new habits, new reference points.
Yes.
I mean, it could be a new job, too. New car, whatever it might happen to be. Just new sometimes.
Yes.
There's comfort in routine.
Right. That's true.
I would think in the legal setting, that can be positive, and that can be challenging also.
It can be challenging. It's interesting because the longer I work in this profession, the more I realize it's always swinging from one point to the other. We're always, we had changes brought about 20 years ago. We're now sort of changing back to the way it was. And I just see that constantly. Things are, increased penalties, and then, that didn't work. We're going to reduce the penalties. And I think, boy, this was where we were.
You were around when Roger Rodoni was around, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cowboy used to talk about pendulums.
Yes, totally.
Not Edgar Allan Poe, but we often made references off air to the pit and the pendulum, too. It's going to swing to a certain point, and then community pressure, peer pressure, is going to force change going back in the other direction. And it'll get to the other extreme, and it'll return going back. And it's just, where are you in that swing?
Yeah.
And can you anticipate where it's going to be going and the rate of speed of getting there?
That's right. And what is really unfortunate, I think, with the criminal laws is that sometimes it takes a really horrific event for people to say, now we've got to change this.
The triggering event.
Right. Yeah. And ideally, we wouldn't have to have those.
But if routine, if constant, if that's desired, it takes something to shake us up, to really do something different.
Right. I mean, ideally, we'd be able to just look at sort of the scale of what's taking place and, I really do think more understanding, more data about is this working or is this not working is a much better way to adjust rather than having, some horrible event, something that destroys a family or a community and everybody say, okay, we have to change the rule because that category of person should never have been in this situation. And
The lurching.
Right. And so it's pretty, plus, obviously, I don't know that it's always, the right thing for the community. So it's hard. It's really hard.
Throw in 3 or 4 gallons of emotion, too.
Right.
So now logic isn't necessarily what's at play.
Right.
Now we're leading with our heart rather than with facts, and that's kind of where things. So with that as a backdrop, what's the biggest challenge right now, and where is that pendulum swing going?
So we've had a lot of legislative changes over the last couple of years. I was just at the conference for the elected DAs last month.
Are there appointed DAs? They don't get a play?
Well,
you said elected DAs. I didn't realize there was another
DAs,
choice.
Most people think of the line deputies to the deputy DAs. And so there are thousands of those in California. There's only 58 elected DAs. So we have our own conference where we talk more about policy issues and changes that we're seeing and do we want to try to address those, before, again, some sort of major event has to occur that says now we have to change them. So it's good because a lot of different counties, because of issues they're facing, have done studies and have said, just want everyone to know, we looked at our jail population, or we looked at what were the percentages of this category. We talk about what's working. You know, are there various service providers who are actually doing something that we can say that's a reliable outcome? And one of the big changes that came up November 2016 was Proposition 57, which changed how a person in prison may receive credits. And this was a big one for all of us because we opposed it when it was first being presented, because the issue is we have a sentencing hearing, you know, in our county. And at that, the victims have the right to speak, the defendant has the right to speak, supporters for either have the right to speak, the defense attorney speaks, we speak, and a judge makes a determination. And sometimes we've entered into a plea negotiation. So we've specifically sat with a victim and said, you know, he's willing to plead to this count and this count. If we accept that, his exposure at 85% will be for 9 years. And then they can say, you know what, I'm going to accept that. I'll accept that. The problem now with Prop 57 is it's sort of throwing that out the window, and a three-member panel is making a decision about that person's credits less than 85%.
Negating.
Yes.
Part of the trial process.
That's right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. Everybody's warm here. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We'll know that the air conditioning is really kicked in when the scarf comes off. We're talking with Maggie Fleming this morning. Maggie, the promise that Prop 57 is breaking with past agreements between victims, government, or the community, and the legal system. Is there any appeal process? Is there any opportunity to revisit? Or is this thing kind of baked in and now you're just dealing with the repercussions as it starts to be applied, as various people, I guess, try to have their names pulled up to be reviewed?
There are no appeals. So the issue is the way the law was written, and sort of the process is, if you're in prison, and first of all, you only go to prison if your current offense is serious or violent, you have a strike, or you're a sex registrant. Otherwise, you're going to be housed at our local jail. So if you're in prison and you complete the term of the first crime. So in essence, it's ignoring the special allegations, which can be use of a firearm, infliction of GBI, great bodily injury, strike priors, which can double the sentence. All of those are now sort of put off to the side, and they're only looking at the term, the original term, the base term is how we refer to it, of why you're there. So let's say a person goes to prison for first-degree burglary, and that's a 2-year, 4-year, 6-year sentence, and the judge chose the 4-year sentence, but the judge said, and I'm going to double it because you have a strike prior. So we think he's going to go away for 8 years. Instead, he comes up for parole after completing the base term, which would be at 50% of, it would be a little less than 4 years. The issue there is the calculation at the time of sentencing and something the judge would have taken into consideration, something the victims were told, was that he was going to do a much longer term. So the concern that we had was, in addition to that, and in addition to the fact we're sort of wiping away promises made and in many cases an agreement that was reached about the term, is the process. So we receive a letter and we have 30 days to prepare our response, which we can only do in writing. We're not entitled to a hearing, to reach out and try to locate the victims, which some of these crimes happened 7 or 10 years ago. It's very difficult. And that's part of our responsibility. And respond in writing, and then we learn the outcome. And then once if we are in fact, if the parole is denied, then it will be annually after that. So part of what, you know, we're all seeing, of course, is this means that the number of these we're going to have each year is going to keep going up, 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 and up. And it's a huge burden if we're going to do our jobs and reach out to victims and notify them of this, which the law says we're supposed to be doing. So
to what end?
Because they have the right to have input.
So they would write a letter also?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how this proposition was constructed?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a concern that we've really rewritten the rules pretty dramatically. And you know, I have some concerns because right now when we're sitting there explaining to a victim, you know, he's looking at this many years, this many counts. He's come to us and he wants to plead to, you know, 2, 3, and 4 plus this allegation. You know, with that, the term's going to be 18 years. It's going to be 85%. And, you know, victims sit and think about it and consider, you know, the process. Do they really want to go to trial? All of that. And in the end, now we have concerns about, are we really appropriately advising them of what the maximum is? Because obviously, you know, if I said to you he's only going to do 2 years, most people are going to say, you know what, I'm willing to miss work. I'm willing to put my family through this. I'm willing to come to court and testify. We think we should do that because we don't believe that's the right outcome. Versus we come up with some other number. So it's something that we're discussing statewide because, you know, we want to make sure that we're meeting our responsibilities, advising victims appropriately, letting the court know what we believe is the ultimate outcome. I mean, these are all things that we carefully analyze and that judges are looking at to make sure. And that, you know, defense attorneys are very cautious when they're advising their client. You don't want to say to someone, you know, one number, and they don't want to undercalculate either. So it's really an interesting sort of change in the law that's been very dramatic.
Don't you set up a legal contract with the victims, with the agreement to accept whatever you accept?
Well, we go over it with them, and that's our job, is to say, you know, here's the plea offer from the defense. Is this something you want to accept? Ultimately,
I say yes.
Yeah, and you say yes, but ultimately, I always have to say to people, ultimately, I still have to make that call because sometimes we have proof problems. You know, sometimes
sure.
The rest of the case isn't the victim, but it's the defendant's, you know, friend.
But at the end of that process.
Yes, yeah.
It is a legal agreement, correct?
I don't know that we can call it a legal agreement.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll reflect on that during the break. It's 8:30.
Okay,
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop presented by American Ag Credit, by CDH Painting, by Redec, and by Lolita Cheese Company. Maggie, the letters that you were indicating that victims or victims' families, if I suppose if they have died in the interim, in response to this Prop 57 panel, of reducing sentencing. Does it have influence, or is it like the spotted owl hearings, where it's all, you know, you cross it off, you say, yes, we received, we made it available, but in spite of that, here's our decision. Does it have influence?
I think, I know statewide they've talked about, I think it's in excess of 1,000 now have already been released, but overall, most counties are seeing that they're doing, you know, better than half are remaining in custody. It just, for me, goes back to that issue of a decision was made by the local participants, the local judge, looking very specifically and in depth at all of the issues, the crime, the allegations, the, you know, the priors, and for that to be then sort of written off by three people who have no connection to our community and no understanding of the impact that this individual, you know, had on the community. Just,
and again, these aren't different. The guys that stolen lollipops.
No. And, you know, and I also sort of compare it to the other type of parole hearing we go to for those who committed a murder. And we actually are given a hearing. You know, we go to the prison. We're there. The victim's family can be present. We're given every document related to their entire prison record. You know, what has been their behavior while they've been in prison, something we've been denied with these hearings pursuant to Prop 57. So it's just sort of a different process that I think is really denying a lot of people their rights. And it's an issue.
Do you think the voting public understood that when this was voted in?
I don't think so. I think, unfortunately, we've seen a number of these that have been written by those who aren't necessarily involved in what takes place in court, and then they're very well publicized commercially. There's generally a lot of funding behind some of these. And they have really interesting names. That's
the thing that's intriguing, isn't it? How,
right.
The label.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the package, but the label.
Right.
Yeah. So is this still kind of evolving? Do you think that it's going to have case law associated with it, and that case law might trump?
Well, we're pushing hard. You know, one of the first issues we did was, it was ridiculous because they were sending us a letter in the mail. So you have 30 days, but it might take 8 or 9 for the letter to get to you. And we all said, you know, in this modern era, if you could send us that letter via email.
Don't play the game here, guys. Come
on. We can get right on it, because to lose 8 or 9 days when you're trying to find a victim who, you know, 10 years ago lived in an apartment in Eureka and may now live somewhere else is pretty brutal. But the other piece that we're really struggling with now is the issue of why can't we see their prison packets? You know, it is a huge process. We understand that, but that's pretty important. We tend to be more, I know I am when I'm looking at those, the murderers who have come up for parole. I tend to go through them pretty carefully, and you spot issues that maybe they're not familiar with, you know.
And again, that can be digitally delivered, so
that's
it's
right.
not an
that's
effort.
Right.
It's
and that's
just
how
a
we
click
get it.
And go.
Yeah. So we'll see. We're
optimistic. Hopefully optimistic.
Yeah, we're definitely working on it. We're making our pitch regularly.
And I would think most of the DAs of the 58, you probably have a pretty good breadth on the political spectrum.
Yes.
So it's not just the hardcore redneckies that are saying we got to take this under control. It's everybody kind of coming together on this one.
That's right.
Does the state assembly, have they taken any position on this at all, or is it a potential hot potato for them?
I don't think it's that. I think it's, you know, really we're working through sort of the way we always do the Department of Corrections and trying to resolve the issues that we're seeing there as a group.
So through the structure?
Yes.
Rather than outside pressure?
Right.
And that explains why you're having so much fun these days. What about local? What's happening here?
Oh, we're about to start up our budget roadshow again. We've got Benbow, Willow Creek, Eureka, and one more. Why can I not remember the fourth one? Anyway, it'll be evenings, sort of like we did last year, going out. We really hope the community will show up. It really helps us to hear some of the community concerns as we sort of establish how the funding will be spent. A number of the department heads and elected officials will participate. I really enjoyed it because people really had good ideas. And also, it's important, I think, we don't do it enough to get out to, you know, Willow Creek or Garberville so that people have the opportunity to sit down with you and say, here's something that's really negatively impacted this community. Is there any way you could help us with that?
So does it result in a punch list or a wish list, or is it more, here's some areas we'd like to have some attention on, but hey, attaboys on these areas too? Do you get both sides?
We get both, yeah, absolutely. They say, we really appreciated, you know, that this project was tackled. Here's something else we're seeing. And it's just, you know, it's the same thing as I appreciate when people reach out and call me about some problem they've got or a concern they've got. It's that sort of, you know, helpful process where people can, you know, people who live in Garberville can drive over to the Benbow that night and...
Yeah, rather than having to drive all the way into town and hope that you might be there.
And they have a bunch of, you know, it's the planning's going to be there, the sheriff's there, I'm there. Department of Health and Human Services is, and you know, and have the opportunity to sit down with those people. We do it sort of in small table formats, and we shift every 15 or 20 minutes, so you have the opportunity to talk to various, you know, different people who have sort of a different piece of how to handle some of the problems and talk with them. And it's just, it's very, I like it.
Mini talk shops.
Mini talk shops, that's right.
Yeah, tell that one to the troops.
I'll start off with a quote.
Yeah. Oh, it's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop. 2 minutes with Maggie. Hey, it's a new feature. 2 minutes with Maggie. Oh, you said that it's that budget time again.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes. It always is.
What is your goal out of this? Is it exposure to different perspectives,
yes,
or is it just a kind of a sounding board opportunity so that you get a laundry list and then you can kind of put things together, disseminate, prioritize, and then maybe address half of them?
I think it's both. I think for me, I've really, you know, I took office January 2015, and that first year when you approach the budget, you know, you've only been in office a couple of months, I was really concerned that I didn't have enough sort of data to figure out realistically, you know, what the priority should be. And so I've worked harder and, you know, tried to really gather as much information as I could to sort of understand how are things funded and then also what should be really our top priorities. And so I appreciate this conversation because I think the community, you know, wherever you are, is really aware of how their life has been impacted by crime, crime at every level. And, you know, and that's one thing that I think is really important to understand is the violent, serious crime tends to make the news. But when you go out and you talk to people, they're fed up with the fact that every car in their neighborhood has been burglarized.
Somebody breaking your porch light.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody stealing the stuff off your front porch, you know. Yeah. So it's those sorts of conversations that help us. But then obviously countywide, it's people being able to talk to different departments. You know, hey, we need more help with this issue. You know, I know one concern was we didn't have enough mental health services in the outlying area. So it's one thing for us to say, wow, this family got really badly traumatized by violent crime. They should be seeing a mental health specialist, but they don't have access to one.
Kind of like a series of V8 moments.
Right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Enjoy the warm, balmy day.
That's right.
See everybody tomorrow.